Happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're going to begin our program today by taking a look at how we can incorporate solar energy into our businesses, our careers, and our homes. Focus on Energy and We Energies, along with the Wisconsin Green Building Alliance, have teamed up to host a conference. It's Wisconsin Solar Decade 2005 to 2015. And it's coming up this Thursday, the 23rd, from 8 to 5 at the Midwest Airline Center in Milwaukee. Lots of workshops the following day on Friday, October 24th, from 9 to 5 in the Milwaukee area at the Technical College's downtown Milwaukee campus. We'll be talking about that conference, certainly, and also about how we can incorporate solar energy into our businesses, our careers, and our homes with two guests. Don Wicker has been with us a number of times. Don is director of the Renewable Energy Program of Focus on Energy. Don, good to have you back.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
And with us by phone, Lisa Francis, a Renewable and Distributed Energy Managing Director for Navigant Consulting. And Lisa will be one of the keynote speakers at the conference, Wisconsin Solar Decade 2005 to 2015. She's with us by phone. Lisa, hello.
Hello. Thank you, Larry. I'm enjoying being here. It'll be a fun conversation.
Well, I certainly think it will be, and I'm really pleased to have you with us as well. Your focus is, you're an economics-type person, aren't you, Lisa?
Yes. I've been working at this now more on the consulting side for 29 years now.
And, well, that's a long time.
It is. So finally my time has come, I think. The industry is finally happening.
What's it like 29 years ago versus today?
Oh, a huge difference, just in the conference alone. I mean, last week I was at Solar Power 2008 International in San Diego, and they had, I think, about 17,000 attendees. And I think when I started this, there'd probably be about 50 people in the room. So that gives you some indication.
Well, Don Wicker, who's this conference aimed at, this one coming up this Thursday and Friday?
Well, Larry, solar is booming not only in the U.S. and the world, but also in Wisconsin. So there's lots of opportunities for just about everybody, for businesses that are interested in putting a solar system on their home, for residential folks, people with farms, for people who are thinking about getting into the business of installing solar equipment or getting involved in investing in solar. There's really something for everybody at the event, thesolardecade.com. And let me put in a plug right now for your listeners that are with us today. We're going to keep open our early bird price for them. And if they want to go to the website, thesolardecade.com, and for the price code, put WPR, we'll give them the early bird rate up until the end of today.
So, up until the end of the day?
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Anyway, so there's really lots for everybody. We're going to have intro classes on both solar electric and solar water heating. We'll have classes, workshops on economics. We'll have workshops on how you can incorporate these type of technologies in green buildings, both commercial buildings and residential buildings. We'll talk about policies, new incentives that have occurred. So as Lisa was saying, these are exciting times in the solar business.
They really are. And I want to give folks a chance to join in and ask their questions. And you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or just email us at talk@wpr.org and email your question. We'll be glad to get it on the air. Well, what about the economics? Lisa, what's the current status of photovoltaic in terms of economics?
The economics have just gotten much more attractive because something on the federal level has just passed. It's called the Federal Investment Tax Credit, 30% investment tax credit for both residential and commercial facilities. So in addition to what utilities offer or what states might offer individually, and in addition to a federal accelerated depreciation, the economics are beginning to, you know, approach grid parity, and that's why you're seeing more and more interest. So we've seen a huge reduction in system prices from what modules used to cost and systems used to cost in the early 80s. It's a fraction of the cost now. So it's not quite at grid parity, but, you know, we're anticipating that by 2012 or 2015, even in the Wisconsin area, that, you know, you could be seeing photovoltaics approaching grid parity.
Even in Wisconsin, we don't get the sun that
No, you don't.
California gets or whatever.
However,
that's going to pipe right in here.
Well, you know, Germany is the leader in the world right now in solar thermal and solar electric, and we get far more solar radiation than they do. And so, actually, that country has 8 times the amount of solar power capacity as the U.S., and they actually have the solar resource similar to Alaska.
Wow.
So we can definitely do it here if they can do it in Germany.
They can do it in Germany. We can do it here in Wisconsin. Well, Nancy in Brighton has a question for you. So let's go to Nancy. Nancy, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am planning on building an in-ground therapy pool for my son who has a disability. And I know it has to be very warm. And we were thinking about using solar power because it's a very open space and it gets tons of sunlight. Do you have any direction to point me into on where I can go for this?
For more information?
Mm-hmm. For more information,
sure.
or have you ever had solar or seen solar power in-ground pools?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other thing people typically do with pools is they use solar pool heating systems, which are more solar hot water systems than photovoltaic systems. So photovoltaics convert sunlight into electricity. The other kind of solar power that's typically used in pool applications is a solar hot water application, which is, can be used for either just putting a pool cover on it or for pool applications. So I think, you might be better off sort of looking at solar hot water applications for pool heating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don, a thing
well,
to add?
Sure, absolutely. Anytime that you have a need for hot water, a solar hot water system will work for you. And Focus on Energy does have incentives and information on how to get a solar water heating system installed. So the caller could go to our website, focusonenergy.com, or our 800 number, 800-762-7077. And the folks there would send a packet of information for Nancy to get started.
And that's
could you just repeat that number?
Yeah.
800-762-7077. We have a call center.
And this is actually to heat the water itself.
Yes, that's right.
For the pool, where that could be separate from the house at this point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it could be. Anytime you have any need for hot water, whether it's in a nursing home or you have 3 or 4 people living in your house or if you have a pool, solar hot water should work.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. Christine in Duluth, Minnesota. It's your turn now. Hi, Christine.
Oh, hi. Good to be talking to you. I have actually 2 questions. I came up with the second one while I was waiting. The first is my son, who worked for 8 years with Quest, was a troubleshooter tech, very knowledgeable in that field. How can his skills translate to solar, and where might he go to check out job opportunities?
All right. Lisa, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a tremendous amount, of opportunities in the solar sector right now, especially on the system integration and installation side of the business. In fact, most of the jobs, per megawatt of capacity are really on the installation and integration side of the business. And there's going to be a tremendous amount of, utilities starting to getting involved in solar installations. And I think if he were to go to some of these organizations that focus on that, not just the manufacturers, but organizations that focus more on the installation and integration side, I think his capabilities would be well suited to those kinds of jobs.
Yeah. Don, something to add there?
Well, certainly this conference that's coming up on Thursday would be a perfect place for Christine's son to get to start figuring out where he could fit in. But I think there's lots of different jobs that are going to emerge, some like Lisa's mentioned. And also, just like in any booming business, there's going to be folks involved in the bureaucracy and sales and management and all sorts of places, as well as IT, if that's what Christine's son was involved with.
Okay.
So we've got a fantastic training opportunity here in Wisconsin at the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. And you can Google them, and they've got all sorts of classes involved in from the basics to advanced in renewable energy.
Now, that was Midwest Training Association?
Midwest Renewable Energy.
Renewable, how am I wrong? I have that.
Association. I think it's the MREA.org.
Energy Association. Now, my second question is, I'm going to put a roof on soon on my house, and I've been wanting solar panels for a long time. Do you put the roof, I mean, shall they put the roof on first and then worry about solar panels, or is that an integrated process?
Are you doing a new construction or a retrofit?
It's an old tear-off.
So it's an old tear-off.
Yeah.
Well, you could do either. I mean, you can do a PV system, you know, on top of the roof, or you can integrate it as an integral part of the roof system itself. So it really depends on which way you want to go. I think either is fine. There are companies that specialize in both.
Okay, and is either one more effective solar-wise, energy-wise?
No.
No.
They're about the same.
Yeah.
It's usually the same modules that are being used, just a different way of installing it.
Hmm. Yeah, I would agree with Lisa. Unfortunately for Christine, she lives in Duluth, which is in Minnesota. Had she lived in Wisconsin, we offer a site assessment process where we train third-party impartial folks to go out and to actually talk to people like Christine to give them actual specific information about their facility, what they could do, where they could get the panels, who would install them, those type of things.
Well, I do have a place in Wisconsin that I'm rehabbing.
Oh, well, terrific.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Terrific. Yeah, then I would, once again, our 800 number will be the place to give you the information, or
okay,
our website.
Okay, and that conference is going to be where again?
It's Thursday in Milwaukee. The Midwest Airlines Center.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. And just and the 800 number, by the way, was 800-762-7077. And your website, again, Don, is?
FocusOnEnergy.com.
FocusOnEnergy.com. Okay. Well, Diane in Rice Lake, it's your turn now. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a Focus on Energy question. Our electric utility is not presently involved with Focus on Energy, and they did a survey of customers, and one of the questions they had was, how can we improve? And our answer was, get involved with Focus on Energy. And now they're calling us back, and I'm pretty sure they're going to ask us, what do we mean, or why do we want that? And so I'd like to know, how does an electric utility get involved with Focus on Energy, and what are some of the things we can tell them to encourage them to do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, Don, let's start with you then.
Okay. Okay, well, thanks for the question. Most of the utilities now in Wisconsin have joined Focus on Energy, the vast majority. I would say we're now covering 95% of all customers in the state, both residential and businesses. So what Diane can do is just continue to go to her utility meetings and just keep bringing up the fact that they would like to be involved in Focus on Energy. And what we provide is information, education, technical assistance, and financing for those folks who are involved in Focus on Energy. Her utility actually does already, charge a small fee, about $2 per month, that goes into their coffers. And so they can offer similar programs to Focus on Energy, and she should ask about that as well.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. And Ron in Madison, it's your turn now. Hi, Ron.
Thanks. I read that the Energy Conservation and Renewable Energy federal tax credits were extended as part of the $810 billion bailout. I haven't been able to find the details, the numbers. What is the percentage rate of the federal tax credit this year in 08, and what
30,
will it be?
30%.
For solar, but also for energy conservation, things like insulating attics, basements, windows, better windows and doors. And is there a dollar limit per individual or family for each year?
All right. Lisa?
Well, Don, I was wondering if you could answer the one on the energy conservation side, because my focus is more on the solar side of things. But there was a cap originally for residential that was in place prior, and that has been lifted as part of the new process. That's the new tax code that's out there now. So it's basically a 30% investment tax credit that now will be extended through 2016, so for 8 years, both for commercial facilities and residential.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, as I mentioned earlier, there's also the accelerated depreciation, which would be applicable at the federal level.
Okay.
And that's just for solar.
for on the energy efficiency side, there were a number of extensions to the existing tax credit, and I don't have all of them at the tip of my tongue. We are going to have a fact sheet, though, which will be on our website, I would say, within a month, which will have all the details.
Oh.
I do know that they put in a tax credit for ground source heat pumps of 30%, and also for wind energy systems, which is new this year, of $4,000 or 30%. So those are new things. So anyway, that'll be on our website. Once again, focusonenergy.com. Mm-hmm. That type of information will be there.
All right. Thanks very much for calling, Ron. Appreciate it. Talking solar energy with our two guests today, Don Wicker, director of the Renewable Energy Program of Focus on Energy, and Lisa Francis, who will be the one of the keynote speakers at the conference that we've been talking about as well. She's managing director for Navigant Consulting, and really pleased to have them both with us today. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lisa Francis and Don Wickard, our guests today as we talk solar energy. Lisa, you'll be one of the keynote speakers at the conference in Milwaukee on Thursday. What are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'll be talking about sort of where the global trends are going, as well as trends in the United States, you know, because we've seen a tremendous growth over the past 5 years with photovoltaics, 44% compounded annual growth rate globally, and in the U.S., 38%, which is, you know, significant growth that's been occurring. And I'll talk about, as well as the growth, some of the installations that have gone in and who some of the players are, what the utilities are doing in the sector, as well as what some of the economics are looking like for the different kinds of installations.
Sounds great. Let's go to John in Duluth, Minnesota next. John, hello to you.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I had two questions. My first one is, my house gets a lot of passive heat in the wintertime, but it just heats the upstairs and where the thermostat is, of course, so the basement stays rather cold. Is there a system I can set up to heat the basement, and I have a forced air system? And then I had another question on if there's a portable solar system that if you should decide to move, you could take with you for producing electricity.
Hmm. All right.
Well, on the passive heat, I mean, I think the easiest thing to do is just to have the fan going for his furnace, and just to recirculate the heat all across the house. On question number two, that is the nice thing about solar systems, is they are movable. So when he leaves, he can take them with him. And I don't know, maybe Lisa knows more than I, but we're hearing that solar systems, especially solar electric, actually and thermal systems, can last a very, very long time, possibly in the range of 40 to 50 years, you know, as long or longer than a roof.
And, you know, you'd think that'd be a good selling point for a house, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, you might be better off, if you're trying to sell the home, might be better off leaving it on, just because I think it will increase the resale value of the home.
Yeah,
I've tended to move a lot in the past to increase value in homes, but I don't know if I'd recoup the cost, you know, by moving often and having those systems left behind.
Yeah. Well, you got to get your pencil out, your calculator, and run the economics on it. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's probably similar to when you move. Do you want to bring your appliances with you or not? You know, they're kind of heavy, and you know you've used them for a while, and there's some effort in moving them.
Yeah, that's right. Dave in Wittenberg, on to you now. Hi, Dave.
Well, hi. This is a great program, and I love public radio. I live in Wittenberg, which is near the Amherst Midwest Renewable Energy. I attend that, and I really enjoy everything down there. My problem is what Larry just said, the economics. I mean, two illustrations. This morning they had a gentleman on the television, and he installed a solar voltaic system. It was $20,000. He's going to put in a second one and be a solar producer, sell it back to the utilities. It's a lot of money. At the solar energy fair in Amherst, not quite Amherst anymore, but Midwest, I went down and I was pricing out a solar hot water heater, $8,000. So my question is, two questions. Are we going to see a drop in this to make it more affordable? And secondly, more with the solar voltaics, I'm seeing new things come through, little films, rather than what I consider older technology. The solar cells have been around for since I've been in college almost 30 years ago. And I'm wondering why should I invest in an older technology solar cell? Why not wait for the newer technology that's more efficient and hopefully cheaper? I want to get in this, but the only thing I can do right now is efficiency because I just don't have the cash.
Yeah.
And those are excellent questions. I think let me take each one at a time, and then Don, you can chime in as well. But on the pricing, we are definitely going to be seeing prices come down, especially over the next few years. There was a sharp increase, not a sharp increase, but we had an increase in prices over the last few years because there was a shortage of the raw material that was used for 90% of the modules, which was the polysilicon material. But so much new capacity has come online that we are actually expecting there's going to be almost overcapacity coming on probably in 2009, and as a result, that will drive prices down. And then in addition, the manufacturers are working pretty aggressively at increasing module efficiency. So the cells are getting better, and as the efficiency gets better, that will help to drive the prices down as well. So we're seeing roughly that next year prices will probably be coming down 10 to 15% in 2009. And, you know, that trend will likely continue over the next few years in terms of price reduction. Mm-hmm. In terms of technology type, thin films versus crystalline silicon, right now they represent a very small fraction of the market. And there are exciting new technologies coming down the pike. But their efficiencies right now are much less than the more traditional crystalline silicon technologies that are widely available. And so there's also a question. I mean, they're very good, but they still don't have the kind of field performance that you might see from some of the more traditional modules. So there's a slight bit of risk, but not much. And you ask, why invest now? My response to that would be, now there's all these tremendous incentives that are also available that make it much more cost competitive. And that's why you're seeing places like in California with their California Solar Initiative and a lot of other states, and even in Wisconsin, they're very good rebate levels or equivalents to feed-in tariffs where you get a set rate for the amount of power you sell back into the grid. And, you know, moving forward, those will eventually go down in value in terms of support. So, it may be cheaper further on, but the incentives will also be not as good.
Mm. Don?
The only thing I would add, and Lisa brings up a lot of great points, is there's some very interesting new financing models also. When I was out at the Solar Power Conference, I talked to a group called Solar City, and what they do is lease systems. They will own a system, put it on your roof, and guarantee that your electricity bill is lower than it is today. So you end up with a solar electric system, and you end up with lower electricity bills. So I thought that was an interesting model. As far as I know, Solar City is not here yet, but they could be soon. Apparently, it's a very successful operation in California. I think they've installed over 2,000 cities there. So if you put all the things that Lisa mentioned, plus other things like carbon credits, into the package, you can end up with a system that's affordable for everyone right now.
And here's another little topic to bring into this, and that has to do with appearance. And Anita from Green Bay area, at least, wrote in an email and said, have you seen the Green Bay Botanical Garden solar panels? They're attractive flower-shaped panels. The firm is out of Door County, Lake Michigan, Wind and Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner can make most any shape of solar panel, including logos. So it's a kind of a great idea, mm-hmm. worth trying, Anita says.
Yeah, I'm definitely familiar with those. Those were partially funded by Focus on Energy, those panels up there at the Botanical Garden. And she brings up a good point. That's the one neat thing about solar electric systems is you can make them very aesthetically pleasing and incorporate them into the aesthetics of your home or your business or your farm. Like these we call solar flags because they're sort of symbolic of who you are, what you stand for. And the same installer has some other very pretty flags as well. So you can have them different colors, different shapes, and it'll be interesting to see how art and energy come together in the future.
Yeah, sure will. And Dave, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. And Dwight in Duluth, Minnesota. Let's call her from Duluth today. We'll go to you. Hi, Dwight.
Hello. This is a wonderful show, especially if you live in northern Minnesota. I was watching Science Channel. There's a show called Ecotech. This man was developing solar technology. It seemed like he was taking different colors inks and putting it on a plastic film so that you could actually roll this stuff out when it's done. But supposedly the different colored inks would each pull a different ray of the sun and collect energy from it versus what solar panels are. Now they only collect a small amount of energy, the way I understand it. And this would work even on cloudy days, and it doesn't have to track the sun because of these different colors, each one grabbing a different ray. And I'm just wondering if you have heard anything about this, because I thought it said the technology was supposed to be coming out at the end of 2008. And I'll take your answer off the air here.
All right. Lisa, anything there?
Well, I know a lot of people have been working on organic dye cells and nano cells, and you know those are sort of the next generation of solar photovoltaic technology, if that's kind of what you're thinking of. Typically, those efficiencies still are quite low, and you know they're still working on lifetime issues. There are certainly interesting technologies for the future. I don't know how, they certainly have also very niche applications that they could be, you know, particularly targeted toward. You know, maybe integrated into clothing or, you know, some unique applications versus more power applications on a person's home.
Hmm.
But ultimately, you know, it might move in that direction. But I still think that that's still a ways off.
Okay, thanks for calling. And Bob and McGuanago, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hello. Great great show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
My question is in regards to that lady that called a few callers ago about her swimming pool for her boy.
Yeah.
I had solar heat from my swimming pool, and I didn't have that great of luck with it. I only went up maybe a couple of degrees. My suggestion was is to go with gas heat, like to heat the water, because she said that her boy had some difficulties. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, that interesting point. What do you think, Don?
Well, I think you should be able to get a fairly decent temperature rise with solar if the sun is out. Mm-hmm. Of course, if the sun isn't out, then you do need a backup heater, but you should be able to get anywhere from 30 to 50 degrees rise from in the temperature of the water going through a solar system.
Yeah, and they've been operating pretty successfully, you know, across the U.S. and, you know, select applications, but locations throughout the U.S., and so I would also check to make sure that your system was actually installed correctly or sized correctly.
Yeah, that's another thing, yeah. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Al in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Al.
Has anybody mentioned or spoken about the feasibility of having the public utilities, Wisconsin Energy or whichever one serves your area, installing solar panels in each house that's logical, that's not shaded or catch as much...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Don, what do you think?
Well, first of all, the public utilities are supporting all of our efforts because their customers contribute into Focus on Energy. So we're really partners with all the utilities in the state, and we're especially partners with We Energies that are helping us to put on the conference on Thursday. Third, a lot of our utilities are offering special prices. We call them advanced renewable tariffs, and they're paying twice as much as the retail rate. We Energies, for instance, has been paying 22.5 cents per kilowatt hour for solar electric put into the grid. Madison Gas and Electric here in Madison does the same thing. Alliant Energy just had a rate increase or a rate approved to do the same thing, and Wisconsin Public Service as well. So most of our utilities are contributing special incentives to get people to install systems. And then one thing that Lisa mentioned earlier in the new tax bill that went through, utilities will now be allowed to take this 30% credit where previously they were not eligible for that. Mm. And I think we're going to see a huge development of utility scale systems in the future. And maybe, Lisa, maybe you know more about that.
Yeah. No, Donna, yeah, let me add just that, you know, in addition to what's going on in Wisconsin, we're seeing a tremendous increase in the number of utilities filing for rate basing of solar systems. So you just had, you know, over this past year, Southern Cal Edison filed in March of this year for 250 megawatts in 5 years. San Diego Gas and Electric in California filed for 77 megawatts in 4 years. Duke Energy, 20 megawatts. Atlantic City Electric was an additional 3.5. And then in Massachusetts, there we're planning to install in my state, it's about 200 megawatts. And it's all the utilities, there's four key utilities, are allowed to rate base up to about 50 megawatts each. So I think more and more there's going to be this trend for utilities, as Don was saying, to get involved. And it could be on the customer's roof application. It could be on their own property. There's a lot of different ways it could be located. But we're definitely seeing the utilities now getting more engaged and, you know, applying for the Public Utility Commission to and get involved in some of the ownership models.
All right. Thanks for calling, Al. Appreciate it. Lou in Milwaukee, on to you now. Hi, Lou.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
About a week or so ago, I saw a program about a guy from India who is taking people from all over the world, underdeveloped parts of the world, who are illiterate. And in 6 months, he is turning these people into solar engineers. Some of them don't even speak the Indian language. From other countries. And I'm wondering, is there anything even approaching this going on or about to go on in this country?
Hmm. Lisa?
Well, there are a lot of solar training programs that are taking place here through different state organizations. And Don, maybe you could talk about what exists in Wisconsin on the training side. But it does exist here, and you could go to a variety of websites for solar training. To basically, if you're an electrical engineer, to get certified in photovoltaic installation, so that they do exist here as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I mentioned, we have a contract with the Midwest Renewable Energy Association to train folks, get them going through a number of different classes. And then we also have a contract with the Wisconsin Technical College system to go through the same type of procedure. There's a couple new programs that have been set up at different colleges here in Madison, in Milwaukee, in mid-state, in the Fox Valley, to train folks to get involved in renewable energy and in solar. I did hear about this Indian thing that the caller mentioned the other day, and it does sound pretty amazing that, and I guess anything's possible in 6 months. I mean, you, mm-hmm. if you can learn a language in 6 months, I think you can learn to install some type of solar equipment in that time as well.
Thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call very much. I want to go back to the conference before we run out of time here and go over again what we're going to be talking about at this conference, Don.
Well, Lisa's going to be giving her talk. We've got two other fabulous keynote speeches that are going to be that are going to be occurring. We have 12 different sessions, which go anywhere from introduction to solar electric and solar thermal. We'll be talking about the economics of all types of technologies. We'll be talking about the green buildings, the policies, incentives. And as I mentioned before, we're holding the early bird rate until the end of the day by putting WPR in the price code. So the Solar Decade Conference, you can register for that at solardecade.com and do it online. And it's on Thursday at the Midwest Airline Center in Milwaukee. And I think it'd be a fantastic opportunity for your callers to come and to find out what this amazing topic is and how they can get involved.
And again, to get that early bird special, you just go to that website.
Mm-hmm.
And
you register, and by putting for the price code, you would put WPR.
Ah, okay. So that's a great incentive to everybody listening today. And I wanted to get that in. So that's Thursday, and then Friday is the workshop.
Is the workshops, right?
Yeah. Denny in Madison, your turn. Hi, Denny.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. First and foremost, thank you for such a great program on WPR, and thanks for all the various entities do in our state to keep us out in front. My question is this. Studied this at MIRA and other places here in the area, and we learned that conservation, for every dollar spent on conservation, you probably save $3 trying to create energy. With that in mind, measuring conservation is important. And the question is, do you have any future plans for supporting some of these wireless home measurement devices so you can look at your whole house, not just a plug-in type measuring device?
Mm-hmm. Don?
Well, he's absolutely right. For every dollar you spend with energy efficiency, it's worth $3 for anything we do on the production side. So definitely energy efficiency is the way to go. And we are looking at all sorts of different technologies and processes, opportunities in the future. We've done some experiments with feedback that customers can get by looking at how much energy they're using at a particular time. When they hear their refrigerator goes on, they can see the bump in the usage. And so, yeah, that'll be something that Focus on Energy will be adopting, depending on the success of this pilot over time.
Oh, interesting. Lisa, is that going on anywhere else?
I'm sorry?
Was that going on anywhere else?
Which thing? I'm sorry.
These are meters that give you feedback, feedback on how much energy you're using in the house at any particular time. They're wireless.
Yeah, there's a number of players in the business that actually, a lot of the module suppliers and system integrators actually do provide sort of remote metering and monitoring, especially for the larger, you know, more commercial type installations. So those would be available. They're available today if you want to pay the additional premium to have that installed.
All right. Well, I tell you what, the conference sounds like it's going to be great. You're expecting a big crowd for that, I hope, Don?
Yes. Yeah, we've had larger crowds every year. This will be the fourth year that we'll be putting on the Solar Decade. We expect the Solar Decade to go from 2005 to 2015. And as Lisa said earlier, by then we hope that solar is at parity with grid power.
Sounds great. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Larry. Enjoyed being part of the show.
Yeah, thank you. And Don Wickard, thank you again.
Yes, thank you, Larry.
So the conference is coming up Thursday. The workshop's on Friday. Go to solardecade.com, and when you get to that little price feature, type in WPR, and you'll get the early bird special on the rate, which is a great thing. Well, I tell you what, we'll probably look at the sun a little bit coming up next. We're going to talk about astronomy with two guests, Jim Lattice of the UW Space Place and Tom Hall of Eagle Optics, coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.